Look at Kelly Blue Book, and it gets good, you know, better, fair, got some cosmetic damage. I'm at the bottom. I've got no trade-in value, so she stuck with me. Let alone the covenant with God. Outside of that, I still, and you can't have two. That's frowned upon, right? Let me go to this side, since you can't have two. That's frowned upon, right? Just making sure we're in the same church this morning. I am super thankful for some of y'all that have been inviting your friends. I love seeing new people when it's my turn to preach. Like, I'm not nervous already. I really don't get nervous. But I got to tell you, let's start with a couple things. I've had a joyous, fun week. It's been since last week. Y'all don't have to feel sorry for me. A couple weeks ago, I had a work business trip in South Dakota that I had to go on. I mean, it was a three-day pheasant hunt in a beautiful lodge. But when I got back, I've been having inner ear problems that are a little plugged up. We killed a lot of birds, but I came back with an ear. And I can't hear out of my left ear. And as any stubborn, listen, y'all might have a wife like this, but we got a rule in our house that I'm allowed to complain a couple times. But I when she gives me a suggestion, now the complaining has to stop, right? Because if said complaint shows up, suggestion is made, if I go another 4 minutes and say it again, but I did not heed the suggestion, no more complaint. Now, I've been married a long time. We've been together since 10th grade, so y'all can do the math where I'm at now. If today is 24 years. So we've been together a long time, so I don't always do what she says, but her favorite thing is to look at me and she goes, "And what did you do about it?" Nothing. I still want to complain. I'm a husband. That's what we do. So finally, I decided I better go to the doctor. Shout out if Tracy's here. I didn't call you. She's not. I don't see her. It's fine. It's fine. But my work has this epic text care. I promise we're going to get into preaching here in a minute. But you just got to know the state of my mind this week, because it's unfortunate that the Lord allows me to do what he does just so I can preach with you. And hopefully y'all can relive it with me. But we have this fancy text care thing. So I get up like Thursday morning and I start explaining via text message to this doctor in the, I don't know that it's even a doctor. I really don't even care. I was just trying to not, I'm stubborn. I don't, listen, as you can see, I don't need a doctor, right? You don't take a perfectly good running Cadillac to the dealership and say, "Just look at it. It's going to cost you some money." Like, I feel judgment right now. Anyway, so I go through and I spend about 12 minutes and I found out it was the concierge, because they have to get all of the symptoms first before they connect you with the one that costs a lot of money. And I thought I was getting somewhere, and like we were having a good conversation. I don't even know what his name was. I could look it for it. I don't even know where my phone is. But he's like, "All right, I'm going to put you to a provider." And I'm like, "Who are you? Just call me in something. I'm going to go to Joe Goods and it'll be fine." So then I get the guy and we go through all the same things again. We find out, he's like, "Oh, you got any dizziness? You got this?" I'm like, "No, I just really can't hear. And I promise you, I've been bubbling this thing. I've been digging. It's not on this side. It's on the inside. Like, at least that far I know, but I can't hear. But when I sit down, it kind of goes away for a little bit. When I stand up, it shows back up and I can't hear squat. It's not like you got your finger in your ear, but it's ringing a little bit. But I really, everything just sounds jumbled. So I've been frustrated." Well, the doctor's like, I felt like I was on ChatGPT, because the nurse practitioner's like, "You know what you have? 100% diagnosed it, like in a block. Like, you've got the," I don't like to say the word eustachian, because I think that's right, but it's, that's a weird word. "But I got something wrong with that. There's just some fluid back there." And I was like, "Cool, give me an antibiotic." That's my limited knowledge. He's like, "Good thought, not today. We're going to do prednisone. You can have a steroid." And I'm like, "I think that's probably bad for my life." And it really is, I got to tell you. So, I don't know if y'all can see right now. I've been on steroids for about 5 days. Right. That's terrible, because I've had 3 cups of coffee and I don't even know where my notes are going to begin. But I've got to tell you, it hasn't helped my ear at all. So I still can't hear. And I have to tell you that that's what is in my frustrated week. I'm a grouchy individual already. No. We've been doing this for years. There is a time, my amen corner knows when to not push the dagger in my back. Listen, I'm a grouchy individual to begin with, and so I don't need anything helping that on a normal occasion. But when I can't hear, I'm frustrated. When everything's sound, because I like to be in all of conversations, and when everything is just kind of a blur, I don't like it. I'm grouchy. So my life has been grouchy this week. And as you can tell, my kids don't love to deal with me when I'm grouchy, and I try to pray through it. And so We end, and I say we because I've got a couple people in my corner on this. It was late in the week. Usually, like, I can pray through kind of where the Lord is going to have me preach. Because if I try to do it on my own, he lets me know late in the week, good, thanks for studying. That's not it. And so talking to my good friends, I now have, do any of y'all have like accountability partners? Let's go with that. Y'all don't, okay, raise your hand. Do any of y'all have accountability partners in the church? Like brothers and sisters in Christ that you will say the things that you probably won't tell it to anybody else. It's a good thing to have, but I'm going to tell you what, if you're already frustrated, you don't always like to have those. But group text messages are great because they can gang up on you. And I happen to have a couple. I've got a couple. It used to be a lot of Phil because he's up in the middle of the night and the sounding board is fantastic. We have recently invited Tim into the mix. While he's a little harsh at times, sometimes you like to add a little bit, but I will tell you this one story, and most of y'all aren't in the elder group or the leadership. I don't know where it was, but I got a call from, and he's not here this morning. I think he's working, but is Trevor working? Anyway, so Trevor calls me one, and I really believe it was a Thursday morning about 8 a.m., and he said, hey, at the meeting last night, he said, I want you to know, like, he coddled my feelings for a minute, and then he cut off my knees. He's like, hey, your points were valid. What you were saying, we got. You're not actually wrong. And I'm like, yes. He said, but you don't got to be a jerk about it. Whoa. I wasn't ready. Like, you can hype me up, but don't cut me down at the same time. So it's nice to have accountability partners in your corner. Well, I had some this week, and we're going to get there. And they know what I'm preaching a little bit this morning because I forced them to be in my struggles, and the Lord showed up for me, and he put me in a position that really, it was just a strange spot, and it birthed out of that. There is a lot of stuff that I've got going on, but it birthed out of that. I'm going to go to, you know, I'm going to pray. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for this morning. Lord, just this morning, I've got notes, and I've got all kinds of things, Lord, that I know that you've given me. I just want to be your vessel this morning in whatever time, 15 minutes, an hour and a half, whatever it may be, Lord. I just want your words to get here. I don't want to preach a sermon. I want to deliver a message. I want to deliver a message that your people that showed up this morning at Heritage Baptist Church need to hear to go out into this crazy society that we live in to be an ambassador for Christ. That's all I want. In your name I pray, amen. We're going to start in Galatians, and I'm just going to read, starting the beginning of chapter 6. I didn't tell them to put it on the board because I like y'all to be as surprised as I am about what comes out of my mouth, and I can't really hear it, so we're just going to go. Brothers, if anybody's caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. Let the one who has taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And 9 is where I want to be this morning. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap, if we do not give up. So then as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are in the household of faith. I'm going to read 9 again because that's where I want to start. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap, if we do not give up. So I started throughout the week, and we landed here. And it's always been, I'm going to stray far away from it, but I landed here a lot. And I'm trying to figure out the right place to tell the story of how this week came, but I'm going to go through some of this. I believe that I was in a weary place, A, because I was grouchy, B, because I can't hear. It was before the prednisone, so I can't blame it on that. But I was just caught up in my, you know what, I'm just going to go with it. So I can't figure out what to preach on because I'm grouchy and I'm angry. And, you know, of course, Phil, on Tuesdays, like, you working on a sermon? I'm like, I am. Where are you at? Nowhere. Tim, That's not good. You know, it's all great, right? So I have to take off work Thursday and Friday because the boys had soccer tournaments for Elk Valley down at Appalachian Bible College. And game started on Thursday and went Friday. Matthew didn't go to Friday because they didn't win on Thursday. Is he back here? He went to the children's church? Not cool. He's too old for that. Anyway, we're going down Thursday. And okay, so here we are. It's 43 degrees. It's pouring the rain. And I have to go out and watch two full soccer games. And if you've ever watched a soccer game, whoo, middle school, then high school, super exciting, right? No amens. All right, fine. You should try it one time. I'll call you next time. Not the greatest joy in the world. And I'm already grouchy. Right? So I don't do the texting while driving often. My good accountability buddies are asking when I'm driving down, before we start headed that way, what are you preaching about? I have no idea. It's Thursday. You should probably figure it out. Yeah, you're right. Thank you. Appreciate that. I'll pray for you. Also, thanks. I'm grouchy right now. I don't want anything from you. I don't want anything from you. Like, I want nothing. That's 100% where my day was, and I meant to bring a jacket. So here's how good is the Lord faithful in your life? Yeah. Let's go from this position. We're here. First game's going on. It's 42 degrees. When the rain decides to go from a mist, it turns from a mist to a rain that goes this way. I don't care what kind of preparation that you have. When the rain starts going this way, you're getting wet. So I'm mad. I'm still mad. Tucker's team ended up winning. Congrats, buddy. No score for Tucker, but he looked good doing it. He bought a new headband while we were down there. Sweatband. Sweat a lot on the bench, but he looked good doing it. No, I love him. He plays a lot. He knows that's a joke. Listen, I want to aspire to be like my youngest son because it doesn't matter if he's on the field or on the bench or wherever. He likes to just be a part of the team. And listen, there is another sermon for another day that I just want you to be part. You don't have to leave, buddy. I was just kidding. I just want to be a part of the team in whatever we got going on in here. Tucker's the happiest child when it comes to that. Anyway, here I stand. We have bleachers down over the hill. We've got some parents with some tents up here. And here I stand. And I like to be cold rather than hot, but on this day, I planned moderately according. I have an undershirt that has a hood, but it's like real thin, kind of like a spring baseball warm-up. I have an Under Armour hoodie with a hood, and now I got a rain jacket. I'm three layers. And listen, if y'all know me well enough, you know how hard that is, because I like to deer hunt. I like to do things. What I don't like is to wear a hood. I carry a flashlight and a gun at all times because I am a nervous Nelly, right? You're not sneaking up on me. Mm-mm, it's not happening, right? I don't like a hood to right here. I don't know how them kids do it, but my peripheral vision's gone, and I already can't hear, so I always think somebody's trying to sneak up on me. So here I stand, three layers of hood, right? And I can promise you, I don't know that my face ever looks happy to begin with. No amens. I like it. Good. Nice. I don't know that my face always looks happy to begin with, but I will tell you, there is no doubt that this morning my face didn't look like I want to talk to you. I have no denying that I look like that. And out of nowhere, I sense presence. And here I stand, and I sense presence of a very awkward individual right here. Before I turn to look, Matthew stands right over here. And this young, shrill, squeaky voice of a college freshman says, "Hi, what's your name?" Matthew goes, "Matthew." "Cool," he says his. Matthew's spidey senses get real big, and I'm still there. Y'all have to picture me here, three hoods up, arms folded, really grouchy face. Matthew's over here, and that interaction got 12 seconds before Matthew's like, "Oh, my friends." Gone. I see him, he's over the hill, and I'm like, okay, the kid walked away. It's fine. I still don't have a good look on my face. I'm sure of it. So a solid minute goes by. Here I stand still. Three hoods, way out here. Not currently raining, probably don't need the hood. and I hear in the back of my ear, I got personal space issues. Ask my wife, ask my kids. I can't get near the Auburn children because they don't. Like, I love them, but I love distance. From the back of my ear, I hear that same voice. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? I do, actually. Still unfazed at what just transpired. Here I return. It's the epic part. Like, the Lord loves me. I know He does. But as I stand, I'm like, yeah, I do. Back to arms folded, standing where I was. I still don't want to have conversation. Another 20 seconds goes by. Same shrill young freshman from Columbus, Ohio. Hasn't been home in a minute. Says, did you hear about those missionaries in Nigeria that were kidnapped? How random. I like random. I like awkward. Y'all know me well enough. Today's not the day for conversation. No, I have not actually heard about those guys. He goes, crazy. Cool. Here I go back. Hood still up. I just thought I was going to answer his question. And this is how my God shows up. In my grouchy world, 20 more seconds goes by, and he said, you mind if we pray about that right now? And I'm thinking, I've got three hoods on and a ball cap. I can't pray right now. No, I don't want to pray about it. That's what my internal said, just like that. Again, which is why we talked about it 2 o'clock this morning, or depending on the time change. Phil said, man, you got to take those thoughts captive. I'm like, I don't need you kicking my shin either. But he did. Those were accountability partners. I said, yeah, you should talk about that, because I should have did that before I left the house. I should have. I should have been all about it, but I didn't. And I said, absolutely, let's do it. Stand by. I got three layers of hoods and a hat that I got to get off this big old noggin. And I ripped all of this back. And this kid, without any fear of what's going on around me at all, there's a ball game, there's people, there's like kids acting like kids. Like, it's just, it's chaos, and he doesn't care about any of it. And he starts firing off this prayer like their life depends on it. Going through it, and I still don't know anything about it. I haven't even Googled it yet, but his prayer made it to heaven. I didn't have to even think about it. He got it. Right? He went all the way down to just let their parents have faith that you will return them home safe. I'm exhausted from listening to this kid pray. So I'm like, okay. And it was at that moment. It was at that moment, and we might not even get to my notes. It was at that moment in my week when I headed down there grouchy. I can't figure out what I'm going to preach, and I get a little anxious. He's never not provided me something to talk to y'all about. I've been able to fill 25, 30 minutes all of my life. Sometimes the plane takes off. Sometimes we have a hard time landing it. Sometimes I'm in the weeds. But this week, I should have taken all of that captive before I headed down the road. Because even though some of my two favorite prayer warriors were in my business the whole way, I still managed to make it to this soccer game in a bad mood with a terrible face. And God said, I'm here. God used, so I had to engage this kid super friendly, because I said, wait a minute. I just told him, his third question, so what kind of ministry are you involved in anywhere, anything? Now I feel stupid saying I'm the youth pastor and have been for about 12, 13, 15 years, whatever it's been. Now I'm pot committed, right? Now I have to get through what he talks about. So we started having conversations, and I opened up and engaged, because I tell you what, the Lord kicked me so hard in the back of my head. It hurt my feelings. I mean, as soon as he walked away, I had to text those two guys. And I got the playback of how silly I really was from those two. Like, even Phil wrote in, like, the whole thing where you write, Justin, I'm in a bad mood. Random kid from Columbus, do you know Jesus? Like, he gave me all that back. Like, I didn't just hear that. I didn't need it played back out. It's there. I mean, I could go back in our text, but but the Lord absolutely stopped me in my tracks before we engaged in conversation and said, I don't know what your problem is, but I haven't changed. you will be provided what you need to bring to the church on Sunday. But bro, you've got to shut up for a minute. Like, you've got to get, like, there. I ain't dead nothing. I haven't left. I'm still here. I didn't take him with me. We're going to get to that plane landing, and Ray's going to come out here in a little bit. But here I come, and this is where I take in a lot of stuff. I take in a lot of reading, podcasts, things like that. I have all kinds of things that I could regurgitate that I heard, but I have to wait for the Lord to tell me what you guys need to hear for this morning for our gathering. I didn't know he was going to do it with three new families. I apologize for that in advance. Please come back next week. It's more normal. But I will tell you why I was grumbling. I don't know why I didn't start my story with that. It came to my attention. If my wife watches this, it was not because she reminded me. I knew my anniversary was coming. I don't know why I didn't start. I'm sorry. I knew my anniversary was coming. And I've been told that I was romantic when we were in high school. I guess some things have changed. I don't know. The last time I actually planned something was 2020 for our 20th, and we were going to go to the mountains. COVID gave it to us all 3 days before we went. We lost money. We stayed home. We shared COVID. Yucky. Anyway, so she had said something, and I was available this week. Sydney was going to be out of town. I said, I can handle the praise team. No big deal. I'm in town. Zero thought. Romantic husband. Then Luke is like, hey, I've got a wedding to go to. Can you preach next Sunday? I'm like, yeah. I'm in charge of the praise team, but I'll figure it out. Super yes man, here I was. And I got into my feelings, my personal self, that Thursday morning, because now I'm frustrated that I didn't plan anything and I wasn't available to be here. I'm not saying they shouldn't have been gone. That's got no point. But I was in my feelings because I should have done better and been the one out of town this weekend, taking my wife somewhere for our 24th wedding anniversary. I mean, her bar is set super low. It wouldn't take like one night at Stonewall. Like, that bank would be full again. But I didn't. So I'm. That's why I'm frustrated. I'm down the road thinking, oh, I got to do the things, and I shouldn't have been able to do the things, so I was there. So that gets me to that Galatians piece. That's why I believe weariness is where I was at. I just was trudging through the things that absolutely didn't matter. My wife still knows I love her. Right? The expectation, this church needed me here. Listen, y'all text Sydney when we leave church, or you can do it now. It's fine. Go, bro, we really like it when you're around. Because with just Justin on the guitar, it's a little shady. Like, we like your ability here. She'll like that because it is what it is. But it says, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we don't give up. I played through Galatians that weariness is not weakness. That is not the same thing. There's a difference between being tired and being defeated. Psalm 61 says, from the end of the earth I call you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I like it all. Being weary doesn't mean you've lost faith. It just means that you're fighting hard and your strength is low. But the work is worth it. You never know. This kid taught me so much. He didn't care about anything. He understood the Great Commission and the greatest command. He had no assumption that there are two Christian schools playing on a soccer field, a bunch of kids from the volleyball gym right down below us, and just people there. He had zero care. You know what he cared about? He understood his Bible reading, and idle time sat while he stood next to me on whatever look was on my face and made sure that I have no doubt that if I would have said, no, sir, I don't know the Lord as my personal Savior, that he would have walked me through it right then and there without fail. I'm a little bit put out with myself over that. Because I can't remember the last time I stand in awkward situations all the time. That's not a normal thing to come out of my mouth randomly to a stranger. Yet if I go back to the Great Commission and I go back to the very beginning of the book of Acts and I understand what we foundationally stood on, that's the start of every conversation. Yes? Yes? Oh, y'all. I mean, what does he want to talk about? What is greater in his mind? Again, this kid was I don't even know. But he was there for me. God put him, y'all know I'm an Ephesians 2:10 kind of guy, that there is work prepared in advance for you to do. You are God's workmanship. This kid, Lucas, a freshman in college studying foreign missions and something else, I don't listen, understands that there is work for him to do. And he had 25 minutes between classes that he stood there not watching soccer, but he knew that I was his divine appointment. A youth pastor getting ready to present a sermon on Sunday morning, struggling because I didn't keep my own thoughts captive. I didn't take all those frustrations, internalize them, judge them against the word of God, dismiss them, and go back about the work that I had to do. No, I let it consume me. I let it let me be a butthole. I let it, all of those things just, and it's probably, I said it, it's fine. It's already there. It's out. I don't know the right word for it. That's what I was being. Y'all can agree. I'm sorry. But what happens when we get weary? Sin. And this is the part that has hurt my feelings since Thursday afternoon, because I'm like, all right, Lord, I hear you. Now what? Now where do we go? And I had taken in some stuff the other day on a podcast, and man, when I heard it, I don't know if I was flying or driving down the road, but this guy said that we treat sin like a petting goat rather than a roaring lion. Let's be participatory for a minute. Somebody fire up 1 Peter 5:8. I'll give you a minute so I can take a drink. 1 Peter 5:8, somebody say it out loud. We can't be quiet now. This is an abnormal Sunday. Some of y'all put... Yes. So the Lord does not tell us that sin and the devil is like a goat. Think of a zoo. You show up to the zoo. What would happen if you toss your child over the little fence in the petting zoo where the goats are? Let's not all speak at once. Just imagine for a minute tossing your child down or you jumping over the fence into the goats. Is that okay? Why? Because they're goats, right? They're goats. What are they going to do? Ah, faint. Like, that's just, like, that's where we are in life. That's what some goats do. Not all goats, I guess. Are they still goats that have the horns and will hit you back? That's the closest thing to a mean goat you can find, but that's how we treat our sin. But what does Jesus say the devil is doing? Like a what? Roaring lion. We forget to think about our sin like a roaring lion. We think of it like a goat. We like to give it a little bit of a name. We like to pet it. Listen, I spent too much time on Friday down this rabbit hole, and I don't want to be down this rabbit hole forever. But it says we treat sin like a goat we can feed, but it's a lion actually wanting to feed on us. Sin don't want to live with you. It wants to consume you. You can't pet what's meant to pounce. I need you to think about this. Listen, because I found myself in all of the excuses. I'm going to say I. You can lace this shoe up with me if you would like. But sin comes in all shapes and all sizes. I am going to go. This is the part that hurt my feelings as I plan to preach and I start to prepare for today. The Lord let me know beyond a shadow of a doubt that my sinful peace of my own personal pride, I will not say that three times, showed up strong Thursday. I was in a sin behavior and let my pride take over what he wanted me to. I needed to take those thoughts captive, as the Lord says. I needed to reference all of my frustrations to the Word of God, but I didn't. But now I get prideful. I'm not going to look for it. It was 1:30 this morning that Phil and I we're going back and forth, and he helps me prepare. I believe he's allowed to do that. If any of you other elders or deacons want to text me at midnight the night before, I'll tell you what I've got going on for tomorrow morning. And we bounce back and forth on where I was at in that, because I don't like to say out loud that the sin of pride or the sin of, you called it a couple other things, Phil. I don't know where my phone, so I won't look for it. But like, it was all offensive, like all of the which I'm in my own feelings and not walking with the Lord. At all. Not even a little bit. Not even a little bit. So I was in a sinful spot. The problem is as I start to make excuses, I dabbled through the internet a little bit to find out common excuses that we use for our sin. Listen, wives, don't look at your husbands. Husbands, don't look at your wives. This is the moment that we just stay focused up here. Because I'm not going to go as far as saying that I am sin-free. I'm also not going to admit out loud that I am just a sinner saved by grace. The Lord calls me a joint heir with Jesus. I am going to walk off that. I need to be on the better side of that sort of thing. But man, we can start making excuses for our sin. It's just my personality. Right? And I'm reading through some of these and going, I don't like that. Scratch that. I'm not reading that out loud. It's just one bad habit. And this is my favorite. This is the one that hurt my... It's not hurting anyone. Right? So if I have a message this morning that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that comes from this, is that sin of pride, it's mine. Right? I'm hanging out on Thursday by myself. It's mine, Lord. I'm not going to press it on anybody else. Got nothing to do with anybody else. It's my walk with the Lord, and I choose to not walk with you today. Straight up, I choose to not walk with you today. Whatever it is, here we are, right? It's not hurting anybody else. It's just my personality. My face always looks like that. Ooh, nobody keeps a lion in their bedroom and sleeps well. We name what God told us to nail to the cross. And then the last thing, what you feed grows. I forgot to talk about somewhere in my notes up here. The enemy... His goal is to make you quit before the harvest comes in. Y'all all know that I just live right there. Like, y'all don't show up. It's 2025. We don't do that. But, like, my house is right there. I put in a new driveway, and I put some grass in. And patient is not one of those things. Another sermon for another day. You pray for patience. God gives you Tucker. Listen, he and I are birds of a feather. We fight over everything because he is me. I am him. That's how it works. I love the Lord for it most days. It's weird. But, so I put in, you know, Phil gets all of this dirt work done. He said, it's yours. I'm done at your house. I'm not coming back. It's yours. Seed it, straw it, life is good. If you drive by my house, don't judge me on the straw. It's heavy. I thought it needed a winter coat. I bought it. I'm using it. Whatever. But I put seed in the ground. Did I rake it afterwards? Nope. Should I have? Yes. Did I get all of the rocks out of the yard? Nope. Is it going to suck in the spring when I try to ride my riding lawnmower? Yes, I have a riding lawnmower for a little yard like that again. This is where we are at in life. It's probably going to stink that too. I promise. I got up on a Saturday morning and I needed a seed and straw the yard. And so I'm pulling rocks, big rocks, big rocks. I am thankful for Phil. He went and found me Phil dirt somewhere, filled a bunch of dirt in my yard, but it had some rocks in it. He said, just pull them rocks out, just rake them up. It's not as easy when somebody says, just rake them up. It doesn't work like that. I got 3.5 hours. And again, let me just turn sideways. I'm not running a rake, right? So I got 3 hours before Matthew decides to get out of bed, shows up. He's not in here, is he? Fair. He won't watch this. What are you doing? Raking the rocks that I said that we have to do today. Still at noon. Thank you for getting out of bed. Okay, what can I do? Here's your rake. Let's rake some rocks. Solid teenage behavior. I say, listen, go over here near the edge of the road. There's some big ones there. Just toss them next to that little culvert pipe. Just got to get 3 minutes goes by. And I don't know if he already applied for the DOH, but there he is. He's standing by the road. Holding the rake. He might have moved 6 decent rocks. He's holding the rake up, looking towards the road. My phone's not there. I say, hey, what are you doing? He goes, well, what else did you want me to do? I'm like, what? For real? It was at that moment that I said, fair enough. Let's just not do it together because I'll quit too. I laid my rake down. I went on down the road. I got a big old bag of grass seed, Thankfully, I heard a still small voice of Phil Schaefer that said, you at least got to get some winter rye too, because it'll come up, because that fescue probably ain't going to do great. Anyway, here's the story. I lay out more grass than I probably need to, all over the driveway, all over the, wherever, in the road. I don't care. I'm just, and I'm tired. So then we go get some straw. We throw it out, and yes, there are some places that are ready for winter. I don't need your judgment. It's my yard. It is. There's grass growing through there, but here's my problem. I'm impatient, so I had to water it every day, right? 2-3 times a day, it says you got to get that first inch layer. Well, then I had to go to South Dakota. Aww. Sorry. That's what my wife would do if she was in here. That was a vacation. It was work, but I was not home. Anyway, I had to leave the seed that I planted for somebody else to water and hope that they did it. And I came back. You know what I came back to? Somebody said it. What did I come back to? Grass sprouts. Was it my watering or was it Tucker? I got some video. I'm on the porch in South Dakota, and Mandy's sitting on the stairs. I think Matthew is obviously not home because the watering was supposed to be his job. And here's Tucker. Just the water hose. And I'm like, it's 10 minutes in all sections. Uniform. Like, come on with it. Like, he's just flaying it around. Like, this yard ain't getting any. But you know what? When I came back, guess what? I got a picture. You've got grass. Did I water it? I don't know. There's a sermon for that one of these days. I don't have to do all of the watering for a seed to grow, right? That kid, his name was Lucas from, is Ray out there yet? I'm going to have to land this plane here in a minute. I'm going to have to for y'all's sake. Yeah, just go tell him. I'm going to need him. I'm just a little support. I'm just not getting back into my notes. That's where I'm at in life. Lucas didn't have to water the seed all the time, but he needed to be faithful in that moment to be where I needed him to be and where God said he needed to be. As holy and righteous as I might believe that I am as a youth pastor, getting ready to preach, I still needed the Lord to show up and kick me in the shin. I would not have come to without that. I would still be in a funk this morning. I would still be trying to read all of this stuff. I still got 2 pages of stuff in here that it may need to be. But what I didn't do that Thursday morning, and he reminded me, I don't know how weird you are about hearing still small voices, audible voices. I don't care. We don't need to argue about it. God leaned into me and said, you left me home this morning. Was it my mind? Sure. Was it the Lord? Absolutely. So all of Thursday, I lived with the thought process of I got up, got dressed, got ready, and I went, but I forgot to take the Lord with me. Understandably, the Holy Spirit is living inside of me. Obviously, I just chose not to listen to what he had to say. Amen? I need to walk with the Lord at all times. I have a whole piece, and I'm not going to. Ray's going to come play. I have been. I texted him and I said, "Hey, are you going to be there Sunday? I kind of need help." And he's like, "Whatever you need." And Ray is a master at older hymn style stuff, and my spirit was not content until I sang the song through my head. I can't even walk without you holding my hand, and that's where I stood. That's where I stood on Thursday. I got up. I left. I didn't. Do you need a capo? I forgot to bring you. You good? Good, thanks. I didn't take him with me to the soccer game. Not one time. And so in my amount of things that I wrote down that I hear all the time that may come somewhere, I don't know who David Pollock is. I think he's a football player. I don't know if this statement comes from him. I don't care where it comes from. It says, be selfish first, so you can be selfless the rest of the day. I'll say it again. Be selfish first, so you can be selfless the rest of the day. This guy said, I have to start my day selfish for me. I got to make sure as my morning starts, I am right with the Lord so that I can give away me to everybody the rest of the day. All day long. No doubt about it. Selfish is not selfish when it's time for you and the Lord. That's where your day's got to start. So that you can give away. That kid Lucas, I'd love to find him. I'm going to see him in heaven one day. I know it. And he's going to be standing right there as awkward as can be with a still shrill voice, whatever that may be. Nicest kid I've found. There he stands. He was selfish that morning because I guarantee you his daily prayer life started with, Lord, am I right with you? Let me dig into your word. Let me pour into myself. Let you pour into me. And then I'm going to go on about my day. And I will live my day for you. And when he left the house, guess what he did? He left the house with Jesus in tow. Right there. Like I say it all the time, when you're in the midst of a storm, you always find yourself in the bottom of a valley looking for that four-wheel drive lever. Like I'm from the era that we still want them down there on the bottom, right? We want to click that thing probably past four high, because when we're stuck in it and we finally call to Jesus, we're going all the way to four low. That's the hand of Jesus. But if you carried it with you as you are headed down into that little bit of a valley, you don't have to lock it in. He's already got this. Here we go. Back out to the other side. But I have to leave the house holding Jesus' hand. And that's my message for you this morning. I didn't do it as your youth pastor. I am as frail as the rest of you. I didn't take captive my entire life. I didn't. I counted my sin and I counted it like a goat. And I said, it's fine. It's just how I am. It's what I do. It's how I act. It's my life. It's not right. That sin of pride is like a lion, and he wants to devour me. He wanted me to quit in that moment. He wanted me to be mad at situations that didn't need to be situations. The devil wanted me to be frustrated about all that because I'm not as romantic as I once was, and I'm not dealing with my wife, and I didn't take her away this weekend on some very super romantic getaway that we probably can't afford, but I'm here at church because I need to do this, and this is what God had ordained. God knew that you were going to show up this morning to hear me preach whatever he wanted me to preach. That was what needed to happen. But I can't get my own stubbornness out of the way. Why? Because I named that goat. God had been there and I pet him and I'm like, it's fine. I'll be petty for a little while because that's easy. Listen, my flesh, it's easy to be petty. It's unfortunately a second nature. So this is my anthem and has been my anthem since Sunday. Everybody knows the song. So I want you to stand. I'm gonna land the plane here without looking at the rest of my notes, because if you leave with one thing, yeah, y'all can stand. If you leave with one thing, it's the proclamation that if you find yourself in a weird spot in life, I want you to sing out loud, Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Amen.